$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me, my co-host, Rick, and no Brian this week.
No.
Brian's missing. He's actually traveling.
He's drinking,
yes. Well, we are as well, but he's doing it in a different state.
Yes.
I believe he's in the great state of Vermont right now, so he's probably sitting under a tree.
Riding a moose,
yes. Hey, you know how, like, in Massachusetts, there's certain bars you can still ride your horse up? And
yeah.
They have to give it water, and they have to give you a beer, or
yes.
They have to give you a drink, right? Haven't we seen some town bars that's like one of those old-timey rules that they never got away from, like laws?
Yeah, you pull your horse up, and they have to stage it for the night. And
yes, they have to provide it with water.
Yes.
And then they have to give the rider a drink? Or did we just make that part up?
I think we made that one.
Okay, well,
I think what it was when our friend, the bartender,
yes,
was looking for a place of his
our
own.
Our main bartender friend. We have a yes. lot of bartender friends because we obviously frequent many different establishments.
Yeah. And we
if
said,
you couldn't tell.
We said if he bought the bar in this town.
Yes, the town bar, basically.
One of the laws was he has to board the horse.
Yes.
And then he says, listen, if you ride up with a horse, I'll give you a beer. And
that's like, where it that's came from. It came okay, from. So that wasn't part of the law.
No.
That was just something we had worked out.
No.
If it had happened.
Yes.
But it didn't.
Oh.
So we have to buy our own drinks.
It's true.
That's sad. So, Rick, we're in October now.
October.
And the temperature has greatly dropped. It's gotten really cold. It's getting cold.
Like I just did. Like,
October.
Yeah, like a rock thing.
I can't
like,
think of any.
October.
Well, it is Rocktober, right? That's the.
Oh, yeah.
It's Rocktober. It's also Shocktober. Because that's when they're playing all the horror movies coming up soon.
Really?
We'll have to be doing one of those. But the temperature is actually kind
of. Oh, yeah. Well, like, the last few days has been like
vastly.
Very, very, very weird. But today was nice. 75
yeah.
degrees and
yeah,
sunny.
Yeah, it's changing
so
all
like boom.
Very
perfect.
Frequently.
You
all
know,
of a sudden.
If we could keep 75 degrees and bright blue sky, I think we'd be called San Diego.
Yeah, we'd be San Diego.
Wales. Oh.
So the temperature changes are kind of infrequent. They are
awkward.
Often sudden.
Sometimes
like,
they're chilly.
You keep stepping. I say sudden, and then you keep stepping.
I know what
you
I'm
know
doing.
You know where I'm going.
I know where you're going, and I'm
like,
trying to end it.
Like sudden death.
Oh, you got
I
me.
Got it in there. I waited for the pause.
There
sudden
was no
death.
Pause. I was talking. Sudden death.
Sudden Death was the movie we had the reviews of this past week.
It was?
Yeah, the J.C. Van Damme, Jean-Claude Van Damme, high-kicking action. What did you think after kind of thinking about this movie, pondering after some time? Any kind of
I
further
mean, it was
thoughts?
Still the same thought that I had when we reviewed it. It wasn't bad. I actually, and I had said this in the podcast, you know, a lot of these times I'll skip parts, I'll do this,
you fast
whatever.
Forward.
This one, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah,
I
which
do.
Is kind of surprising to me because there's a lot of movies where I feel are more iconic that we've done reviews of,
that I
hold dear, and you always skip around on those.
I skip around.
And I'm
I
like,
do.
What are you doing? There's like such key moments here.
I hold Jean-Claude Van Damme in
well,
such
he captures your attention.
Yes.
Did you see when he did that video was within the last year where he did the splits between the two semi-trailer trucks.
It was like an advertisement for like international.
Yeah,
something
like that.
Like
that was
the trucking
cool.
company.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
Drive a Volvo.
So I was thinking, you know, same thing with me, kind of the same thoughts. It is enjoyable. It is a fun movie. It is a bit of a diehard knockoff.
It is.
But just, as I mentioned, I saw this as a kid and I was in Jean-Claude Van Damme's prime. I was watching most of his films, as they came out, kind of starting with Bloodsport and following most of the things that came out.
Bloodsport, yeah.
And I was really excited for this movie, and I was kind of bummed out seeing it as a kid. I thought it kind of was a bit of a letdown, but I did think it was enjoyable. I think the time passed and the nostalgia kind of helped it
yep.
a little bit. So
I agree. Yeah, I think you're absolutely 100% right. Because if I watched this like in college and then
well, if you
watched
had been drinking
again,
heavily, that might have helped.
Yeah, that's true.
What would be a good hockey-watching beer? Like, I'm thinking Molson, but that's not a good beer.
No, that's a terrible beer. Well, if I was in college, it would have been Keystone Light. You know what? I like something like a warm
beer.
You like warm beer? Like cask beer?
No. Well, nah, maybe not warm. Maybe something thicker. Maybe like a Guinness.
Okay. We'll ponder upon that. So, Rick, you know, one of the things we often do on this podcast is we connect the previous movie we watched, the previous movie being The NeverEnding Story, to this current movie, Sudden Death. Did you have a chance to kind of think of any connections?
I did not.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share. I have a few, and I have...
Let me see if I can come up with one.
Well, I have one that I'm building up to one that's going to blow your mind.
Go on.
Okay. Well, let's start back. So let's start with, because thinking to NeverEnding Story, you're like, who should I use? The first name that pops into my mind is obviously Gerald McCraney.
Yes.
Major Dad, because he played Bastion's dad. So Gerald McCraney was in the movie Focus with Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie was in, obviously, the first time we kind of saw her was in Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
Leo is in Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks. And then Tom Hanks was with that kid, the kid who played Tyler, Ross Malinger, was the actor's name, or Malinger, who's the kid in Sleepless in Seattle, his son.
Oh, okay. Boom.
That was kind of the first connection I came up with a little longer. Then I kind of cut it down a little bit. I started off with Bastion himself. I went with Barrett Oliver. Barrett Oliver makes a cameo appearance in the Patrick Swayze war movie, Uncommon Valor. Did you ever see that movie? Gene Hackman's in it.
No.
It's from the 80s. Then, obviously, one of Swayze's most famous roles, he was in Roadhouse.
Oh, yes.
With Sam Elliott.
Yes.
And then Sam Elliott was in Tombstone with Powers Booth.
Oh, Powers Booth was in Tombstone.
Yes, he was Curly Bill. Curly Bill Brocious.
Oh, I like it.
Did you have success, or are you ready for your mind to be blown?
All right, blow my mind.
Okay.
Now that I remember Powers Booth was in Tombstone, I have a lot more connections.
Okay.
Because I was trying to put his face, you know, he's one of those guys where you remember him in a lot
yes.
of stuff.
He's a character actor.
I couldn't put him in there. So,
are you ready?
Go ahead.
Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready for this?
Well, I'm
this
not,
is like,
I don't think I'm ready.
This is like explosive, this connection. Ready?
Yes.
Deep Roy was in Sudden Death. He's a stunt actor.
What? did you say a stump actor?
He's a stunt actor in Sudden Death. Deep Roy.
That's crazy.
Who played Teeny Weeny? Was that his name?
I forget.
The guy that rode the snail?
Yeah.
Rockbiter. Hey, this isn't my own voice.
Remember
maybe
when,
he was remember
when
we were
I watched
talking
it, I was
about
like, why aren't they using his name?
Do you remember when we had the awkward kind of points during the main reviews about the stunt performer? You could see their underwear changing colors because there was bad continuity when the daughter Emily was hanging from the roof. That could have been Deep Roy.
Could have been.
We might have seen Deep Roy's underwear. His undies.
That could be awkward.
I wonder if he had little rock biters on them.
He probably did.
Probably did. Maybe he had a Treu.
That is true.
Hopefully not Falcor. So there you go, sir.
That's amazing.
Now, I know you you often kind of look to that definitive site that shows you the
yes.
ultimate connection. Is that the one it shows? Because I thought that was pretty amazing.
It actually doesn't. The one that it shows to connect the two movies is Gerald McCraney was in The A-Team 2010.
Yes, the movie.
With Jimmy Ortega, who was in Extreme Prejudice with Powers Booth.
Oh, that's an even longer connection then.
It is.
I beat the system.
You did beat
Woo-hoo!
The system. Let me see if I can change that.
Yeah, see if you can update it.
All right.
Say, yo, what's going on with it? While you're doing that, so Brian's not here, but often during their full reviews, he gives the IMDb parents guides.
Yeah.
And he went over the sex and nudity one, which is very little in this
yes.
movie. But one I was surprised he didn't bring up, which I thought would be super long, and I thought it'd be interesting if we actually looked at it, was the violence and gore one. We didn't actually look about what the violence warnings were for this movie. This was a 9 out of 10.
Go on.
And it says, Sudden Death is a very violent movie. Most acts of violence are shootings, which range between shown off-screen to gory close-ups of bullet wounds. Other acts of violence include a woman whose hand is burnt in a frying vat. We see a quick close-up of her burnt hand. And then she is strangled by a dishwasher.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the icy hot one.
Yes.
A helicopter pilot falls several stories onto a car. A terrorist whose head is bashed into a block of dry ice and is then stabbed in the neck with a chicken bone. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was just terrible prosthetics, but yeah.
Another terrorist is shot in the neck with a dart, and another is stabbed in the hand. One man is set on fire, and then we see him badly and graphically burnt. So there you go.
Like, oh, I feel like it would be a lot longer.
The bad agent.
Yeah, I feel like they're missing some of the other key things that happen. They just kind of did a quick overview of the violence.
Yeah.
So some of the fun facts about this movie.
Go on.
Which we got into a little bit. So originally, the script called for the Penguins to play the L.A. Kings. Who cares? They played the Blackhawks.
I don't care.
Obviously, one of the most famous players on the Penguins at the time was Jaromír Jágr.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't happy that the hockey player wearing his number 68 was on the ice for three of the opposing team goals, making him a -3.
Yeah.
So he was upset about his fictional points.
He must have scored, though. Thought he scored.
I thought he did, too. I don't know.
So that offsets, doesn't it?
Here's something interesting.
Go on.
Which we brought up. We went down this road a lot during the main reviews. According to the writer Randy Feldman, he wrote the first draft of the screenplay for the movie as an action comedy movie parody.
Yes.
We were talking about how this movie would be better as a parody. The only scene that remained in the finished film was the scene where Van Damme fights the Penguin mascot. So that was supposed to be part of the parody. We kind of like,
I think what they were trying to do.
We came up with that idea.
Oh, I wonder if they were trying to do it, and you know how they were trying to get Bruce Willis?
They wanted Bruce Willis, yeah.
I wonder if they were trying to get it like, what's...
Think about, they also wanted Sylvester Stallone.
What's his joke, that joke movie, where he was like a secret agent or something, but it was a...
Bruce Willis, like Red?
No, not that.
Hudson Hawk?
Yeah, Hudson Hawk.
Or think about like Sylvester Stallone. Well, it would have been supposed to be like a stop or my mom will shoot type of comedy. Or
So then when they got Jean-Claude Van Damme, they're like, well, he can't really do comedy, so...
Or Arnold, who was doing Junior, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
They wanted all those guys before they got Van Damme. Twins, yeah. Probably one of your favorite facts,
yes.
Rick. While shooting inside the Civic Arena... In subsections, there were cardboard cutouts of people because production didn't have enough money to pay any more extras.
Oh, it was so funny.
And we also brought up this was shot during the NHL lockout during the 1994-1995 hockey season.
I knew that.
Despite playing the lead character, Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't fight a henchman until 37 minutes into the film.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I wanted more
Took a long
fighting.
Time. We talked about, the original choices for Darren McCord, JCVD's character, were Arnold, Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis. Original pick for the Powers Booth character, the bad guy, James Woods.
Yep.
Turned it down because he didn't like the direction of the character.
I wanted Anthony Quinn.
You want Anthony Quinn? Emily McCord.
I think Powers Booth just looks like a young Anthony Quinn.
He does. He kind of does.
So that's why
nose.
Yeah, that's why I probably picked him.
The role of Emily McCord, the daughter, was originally going to go to Mara Wilson. That was the young girl in Mrs. Doubtfire. Matilda.
Matilda.
And then the last thing they say, which is really weird, maybe you can explain this quote to me. It says, director trademark, Spoda, a character named Spoda. So the director trademarked this character named Spoda. I wonder if they used them in other movies. Because he did direct Jean-Claude in three in total.
Yeah, but...
Maybe there was a character named Spoda that came up.
There wasn't a character in this movie named Spoda.
Maybe one of the henchmen was made. Maybe the guy that liked the Fig Newtons was the Spoda character.
It was Bill Dalziel.
Was he one of the henchmen?
He was Spoda.
He was Spoda.
No, there's no images of him.
So we don't know who the Spoda character is.
He was born in December 12th, 1951 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
His name is Spoda.
He was Spoda. Previously married to Janice L. Rambo.
Oh, awesome. Speaking of that...
Speaking of Rambo...
Well, speaking of Rambo and Sylvester Stallone, on the cable guide today, I was flipping through the guide, and you remember when Sylvester Stallone came out with the... Remember, he was making his Rocky Balboas, he made the Rambo movie, he was making, bringing back all his characters in the recent year. The last Rambo he made, which I remember was just called Rambo...
Yes.
It comes up on the cable guide as Rambo 4. They renamed it for cable. So it's Rambo 4. I mean, I guess the third one was called Rambo 3.
I thought it's called, isn't it John Rambo?
No, it was just called Rambo.
Oh.
There was Rocky Balboa,
which they
just named it. This was
Just Balboa.
Yeah, not just Balboa. And then they just jumped to Creed. So, Rick, one of the things I think would be interesting, because we kind of talked about how Peter Hyams directed Jean-Claude Van Damme in three movies.
Yes.
And we kind of talked about when we kind of got into his filmography. So I thought it'd be interesting if, because we talked about his heyday and then when he started to go to those direct-to-DVD movies, just starting from the beginning, run down the list of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies of his filmography and see if you had seen any of these, when you started seeing some of these, when you started dropping off.
So, well, yes, I have dropped off considerably.
Right,
in the last,
but you might have caught
but
one
like,
here and there.
I mean, well, he's probably done 50 movies since 2000 or whatever. But
I think it'd be interesting to pinpoint exactly when you dropped off.
So we got his start on a couple of uncredited roles in Barbara Street, Break-In, Missing in Action, He Was a Soldier.
This movie from 1979, which is very early. I didn't know he started that early, called Woman Between Wolf and Dog.
Yes, very awkward.
I must look this up. It just says it's a foreign film and doesn't say what it's about.
No. So his first real movie was Bloodsport.
Yes.
Then went to Black Eagle.
We've both seen Bloodsport, right?
Yes.
That's the first one we probably got into.
100%.
Right. And that was in 1988.
Black Eagle.
Never saw that.
Never saw it. Cyborg.
I saw pieces of it on the Movie Law, TV 38.
I don't know if I've seen it.
That was 1989 at that point.
Oh, maybe. Oh, man. The freaking DVD shows the same exact move he does in every single picture.
Like just him, a split move?
No, him like...
Or the high kick?
No, him like holding his like, you know, arm up and flexing.
Like, rah!
All right. Well, then there was Kickboxer.
Did you see Kickboxer?
Of course I did.
I've seen it too. Have you heard about the remake?
No.
I was reading about this the
other
day. Why
would they ruin that?
Well, so they're remaking it, and the, you know, the guy who's like the sensei master character, that's going to be Jean-Claude. So he's playing that.
So this is Karate Kid.
Exactly. It's like Karate Kid. It's called Kickboxer Vengeance.
Where's Tony Shalhoub in this?
This guy named Alan Moussi, who's apparently a Lebanese/Canadian actor and stuntman. He is going to be the main guy. And then Jean-Claude is going to be Master Durand. And Dave Bautista's in it. He's playing Tong Po, which I was
I think
was the bad
guy. Did we talk about this?
We might have.
Because I remember, I think, Brian saying something about Batista doing
showing
some more things.
So that was Kickboxer, 1989.
And then it went to Lionheart.
Oh, no, 1990. Before Lionheart, I have Death Warrant.
I have it after that.
Oh, okay. Well, so
it's
Lionheart.
By,
I saw Lionheart.
By release date, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so Lionheart came out in 1990,
I've seen Lionheart.
Now, I probably caught this on HBO or something, so I was 10-ish at the time.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yep.
So one of the things I noticed, and I think this was kind of my developing brain understanding movies and what was going on, the bad guy from Bloodsport, Chong Lee, was also in this movie as one of the bad guys. So it was like one of the first times I remember seeing like, oh, he's fighting the same guy again.
Yeah.
You know, kind of picking that out.
Not for nothing, one of the actors in this movie, Lionheart, was Billy Blanks.
Oh, I could see that. He's a martial arts guy.
Yes.
He did Tai Bo on him.
Yeah, probably. And also, I just found out, clicking on Billy Blanks, that he was also in Tango and Cash.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, that's a movie we should do.
You don't remember the famous scene in Lionheart where he's about to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme and Billy Blanks says, "Hold on," and he has to hit play on the boombox and music has to play first?
Yes. Oh, God.
And he punches him in rhythm.
It's perfect. So then after Lionheart, I have Death Warrant.
Is that that's not the one where he's in prison, is it?
Death Warrant is assigned to in a jail to investigate murders of prisoners in jail.
So he is in prison. Okay. Yeah. There was another one that Stallone was in where he did something similar, and I always get them confused. He's like Stallone's in prison, and I don't know if he's an undercover cop or he's just...
Demolition Man?
No. We'll look that up later. The one you never saw.
Double Impact?
Double Impact.
Double Impact.
There's
was,
two of them.
Was Yes, there's two of them, and I don't remember this one at all.
Yeah, I remember this one. I saw this one.
I mean, maybe I've seen it. Like, you know, it's one of those things that maybe if I watch it, I'll see it. Then there's Luke Devereaux, Universal Soldier.
Now, this one, again, so kind of like Sudden Death, when I saw the preview for this one, I was really excited because it was touted
as
Jean-Claude versus Dolph Lundgren. So I was like, that's a good matchup. And that was really weird.
I did not... It was, you know,
soldiers that die and come back, and
it was very awkward.
It was very awkward. Yeah.
I never really liked it, and then I've seen the follow-up, Universal Soldier, whatever it was, and I hated that one.
Yeah,
the new one.
Well, there's many of them.
Well,
they kept
but
having
the newest one, the newest
the
one,
the newest
that,
one, the where one Dolph like, comes back.
Yeah.
It was looked awful. Like it was like filmed on like someone's 8mm camera. Or something
8mm.
Like that.
It was filmed by like a child with crayons just drawing pictures. I mean, it was bad. I didn't like it at all.
But yeah, I tried to watch it. Well, was he even the main character in that? Because there's a lot of his direct-to-DVD ones he does with that actor, Scott Adkins, and he seemed like he was the main character.
He might have been.
He might have been.
I don't know. I didn't like it so much that I wasn't really watching it.
Yeah.
Next was Nowhere to Run.
Which I saw.
I don't remember it.
So the scene I remember from that, so he's like on the run and he's hiding out and he's in this tent. And I believe the kid in the movie is Kieran Culkin, Macaulay's brother, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
And he finds him and Jean-Claude has a Playboy and he walks in, he's a young kid, he goes, boobs? Ew, you like boobs?
Oh, Rosanna Arquette was in this.
Yeah, she was the wife that he has the sexy time with.
So after Nowhere to Run was Last Action Hero, which I have
seen.
He had
a cameo. I didn't remember he had a cameo in that.
Yeah, yeah.
When was that?
When he was in the movie?
Yeah.
I just remember in the theater turning to my buddy I was watching, and I was like, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he was like, shut up, I'm watching this.
What did you think in general of Last Action Hero?
It wasn't that good. I was disappointed. I wanted it to be so much. You know, so here's the thing. If it came out 3 or 4 years earlier, I probably would have thought it was the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
But being 12, 13, starting to get to the teenage years where it's like, it was too playful and not enough action for me to see at that time. So I didn't
enjoy
it.
A weird balance of comedy. And
yeah. I didn't enjoy it at the time. I haven't actually seen it probably since.
I was
going to
say, I should tell you, I think it's kind of the way of the sudden death route because I see them playing it a lot of the time on cable.
Oh.
I think the nostalgia and the overtime, you kind of appreciate the references to itself that it does a little bit, the parody in the way, you know, it's a little bit more enjoyable.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Hard Target was next.
This is one I always wanted to see, but I didn't.
You haven't seen it?
I never saw Hard Target because I remember seeing...
It's not bad.
I remember seeing the previews and I thought it was kind of... It wasn't a similar concept to a movie that I enjoyed, Surviving the Game, where they're basically hunting the dangerous game of all man.
Yeah, so basically a woman hires a drifter as her guide through New Orleans in search for her father who has gone missing. They discover a deadly game of cat and mouse.
Are you sure he's from New Orleans? His name is Chance Bordeaux.
Yes, I'm pretty sure he's from... I think he was eating... What do they eat down there?
Gumbo and jambalaya.
Yeah, that's what he was eating
the whole time. Oh, wait, that...
So then, this is where we get into...
I do have to bring up something. So I never saw this movie, but I remember switching to it once. And isn't another one of the stars of this movie Wilford Brimley? Wasn't he in the movie?
What? Diabetes.
I do believe Wilford Brimley was his friend in the movie.
I don't see Wilford Brimley in this.
Okay, maybe I was mistaken. Maybe it was just wishful thinking.
Lance Henriksen. Yancy Butler.
He plays a bad guy.
Willie C. Carpenter. Hold on, maybe he is in this. Maybe.
Wilford Brimley is Uncle Duvet.
Yeah, oh God, he was the last person on the list.
Chance Bordeaux's uncle who lives deep in the bayou. Chance and Natasha take shelter at his home have him help during the film's final shootout.
Aww. So now this is where, so I've seen a few of the ones before this, kickbox or whatever.
I'm still in it at this point.
So
at this point, I'm still deep into the catalog.
This is where I really got in.
Okay. This is where you like kicked it up.
Yeah. I'm going to go fast through this. Time Cop.
Obviously.
Street Fighter.
Obviously.
Sudden Death.
The Quest, which you brought up a lot during the main reviews.
Maximum Risk.
I don't think you should jump over The Quest very quick. Let's talk about The Quest. So The Quest was basically, first of all, it was written and directed by Jean-Claude.
Yes.
Co-starred Roger Moore.
Yes.
And basically, he was just him rewriting Bloodsport.
It was.
He's just going to this competition where the most elite fighters are there.
Yes.
Oh!
Sold by pirates
Do you remember who one of the other fighters in the movie was? The American boxing champion? James Remar.
James Remar was in it. Yeah, Roger Moore. No one else that was too
crazy. Was the guy
from
Bloodsport in it again?
I don't remember. We've got, you know, The Quest, Maximum Risk.
I want to step back a little bit again. Because I think we glided too fast. What was your opinions? Obviously,
these are the best ones.
Avid video game player. What was your opinion of the Street Fighter movie?
No, why bring that back? Let's just keep.
Was that one we should come back to? That was Raul Julia's final movie.
It was such an awful movie. I don't want to remember Raul Julia in that way.
I know. Okay, so here's where I start to drop off.
Really?
I saw parts of Maximum Risk.
Okay. But then Double Team.
Double Team I saw.
Yeah. And it wasn't bad. I mean, I don't like Dennis Rodman, but it's
at
not
the
bad.
Time, I thought...
Yeah, he was awkward.
I was excited about Mickey Rourke being the bad guy, but then I thought he was kind of a pushover.
Yes, I agree.
So I was like, he could have easily beat him at any point.
And then Knock Off, which
I tried to watch. That's the one with Rob Schneider, right?
Yeah.
He teams up with Rob Schneider.
I have not seen that one.
This is during the time where I feel like Rob Schneider was on the action sidekick kick. He was in Judge Dredd.
Oh, he was terrible.
Oh, now he's in Knock Off as Jean-Claude Van Damme's sidekick.
I did not like him in Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
But I didn't like... So I thought Carl Urban played a much better Judge Dredd.
Right.
20 years later or whatever.
Yeah, he did a good job.
I think that was good.
So yeah, I didn't see most of this one.
All right.
So
Knock
this is
off,
where I start to fall off.
I did not see that. This is kind of where I started to fall off. I saw Legionnaire.
Caught part of it on USA.
Yeah. Universal Soldier, The Return.
I made a point to see this one because I liked the first one, and I knew this was the one Jean-Claude Van Damme was coming back because they had two sequels without him. And they also had Michael Jai White was the bad guy, Spawn.
Yeah.
And they had the...
Every time you say that, though, I think Urkel.
Urkel, Michael Jai White?
Yeah. I don't know why. Like,
why
his name.
What's Michael Jai... Oh, that's Jaleel White.
Yeah. So,
it's
like,
not close.
It's kind of Jai, whatever.
I would watch this movie 100 times if Urkel was the bad guy.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You think it's Jaleel White playing like a criminal mastermind?
No.
That'd be great.
It would have been Stefan Urkel.
Stefan Urkel. He is cooler.
Yeah.
And they also brought in the wrestler, Bill Goldberg.
Yes.
So he was one of that. So I thought that was cool.
I thought it was cool. But, like, so this is now the time where, of course, we went to college. And most of our time was not.
And I wasn't getting made for TV, DVD, movies.
Yeah, it
wasn't even watching a lot of.
So, Inferno.
Nope.
I don't remember this one.
Let's read it real quick.
Inferno was an amazing movie that the full moon shines for a warrior who's lost his way.
What? Is this Coyote, like his dramatic turn?
Coyote is the spirit that leads the pack back to life.
Skip to the next
one. If he follows the coyote when the moon is full, the warrior will see the path once more. It is also referred to as Desert Heat.
It was called Desert Heat.
Terrible movie.
Because that's the one I had heard of this movie. I didn't know it was called Inferno, but I knew he did one called Desert Heat.
Yeah, Desert Heat is Inferno. Inferno, Desert Heat, whatever. Then there was Replicant.
Cyborg. Is this like a repeat of Cyborg?
Yes. I had seen it because I'm a huge fan of Michael Rooker.
Oh, Rooker's in this. Nice.
And I loved it. And James Hudson was in this, and it was okay. I've only seen parts of it because it was on like a late night, whatever.
Skinamax.
Yeah, maybe. It was probably Cinemax. It wasn't that good, but I like Michael Rooker, so I gave
it
a probably.
It says he played a dual role in this one, too.
I probably would give it a, he was the replicant or Edward Garrott.
But yeah, so he played two people, so was he a... he said he played a dual role in The Order, too.
He plays dual roles in everything. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
What is the one that... Because remember there was the movie...
He plays dual roles in everything. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme playing a role.
There was a movie called The Order that had Heath Ledger.
Yes.
Where he was a priest.
That's the next one on the list. Yeah, The Order.
So what's the... But it's not the same one. There was the Heath Ledger one called The Order.
Right.
And then there's this Jean-Claude Van Damme one called The Order.
Right. This one is Charlton Heston was in this movie.
Charlton Heston?
Take your damn hands off me, you dirty kickboxer.
No, he had a bunch of roles after that.
My Charlton Heston kind of turned into kind of Sean Connery.
Yeah. Somehow.
Hello, Mandy Penny.
After The Order, which was 2001, it went to Derailed.
Yes.
Which
is that a train movie?
Yeah, it's a train movie. An out-of-control train holds hostages, high-tech bioweapons.
So it's Under Siege.
Agent Christoph, becomes a one-man army.
Dark Territory.
Yes, with...
Morris Chestnut.
No, who was the evil guy? Eric Bogosian.
Eric Bogosian.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Eric Bogosian.
it's basically they needed to do a new movie. So after Derailed was In Hell...
Now, tell me, is this another prison one?
Yeah, so
he
must survive.
So he just starts repeating himself,
so
right?
So he must survive a prison where hardened criminals battle to the death for the warden's entertainment.
Okay.
And
so,
in this movie was LT, Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Let's take a pause for a minute to discuss what we've talked about so far. So he made Bloodsport, where it was a elite martial arts competition movie.
Yes.
He then basically remade it as The Order years later.
Yep.
He then made this movie called Double Impact where he played a dual role. He then played dual roles in Maximum Risk, The Order, Replicant, so he did that again, and then he did that movie Death Warrant where he was in prison, and then he made that movie again. It was called In Hell, so he just keeps making his same movies over and over at some point.
It's terrible.
He's in a movie made called Knockoff, and he literally is just making knockoffs.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't make a movie where he had to stop the mayor from being kidnapped at the local field hockey game because he's been kidnapped.
Did you pitch this to him?
I'm pitching it now.
Would
you greenlight this?
What do we call him?
JCVD?
I don't know. You call Sly Sylvester.
I do.
Do you call him Jean?
I call him Putty Tat.
All right.
No. Jean-Claude would obviously be Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, perfect. So after In Hell, The Secret Adventures of Gustav Klupp.
That doesn't even come up on my list.
I think maybe it's a TV show. I don't know. Wake of Death.
Wake of Death, okay. I have one called Narco he's in, and he played the character of Gene's Ghost by Lenny.
I don't even know what that means. I have Heist School.
High School.
No, Heist.
Is that also called The Exam?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Because I have one called The Exam, which is a 2006 Turkish comedy drama.
Maybe, because it says five high school students plan to steal the university entrance exam booklets. After that, it goes to Until Death.
Do you have this one called The Shepherd Border Patrol, where he plays
Jack
Robidoux?
Yes.
So apparently he's trying to be a Cajun guy again.
Straight to video. I have two other straight to videos. The Hardcore, Second in Command.
Okay, yeah, I see
and
those.
And then JCVD.
So,
this is his return to glory.
This is his return, yeah. JCVD, and I have to admit, I've only seen parts of it. I feel bad. I need to watch this one. But this is him
I've never seen this. This is him being
self-referential to himself, because
I've heard of it, but I've never even seen any parts of it.
Well, it's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's playing a heightened version of himself. He's being self-aware, basically.
Gotcha.
He's talking about, the movie starts off where he's talking to his agent, and it's like, oh, Steven Seagal stole another role from you again. And then he's playing himself, and he gets caught in a bank robbery. And as himself, Jean-Claude Van Damme has to save the day. But he's Jean-Claude Van Damme, the actor. It was interesting. I hear it's very good. I've seen parts of it. I need to go back.
Okay, so then after that is Universal Soldier Regeneration.
Which you say is horrible.
Oh, don't.
That's the
one
that looks like it was.
Then he was in the movie Soldiers. And then, so this is where, coinciding with kids, this is where I really have not seen any of his movies except for Kung Fu Panda 2.
Kung Fu Panda 2.
He's the voice of Master Croc. And he's in Kung Fu Panda 3, too.
Do you think because he was in Hard Target where he was like, I am Cajun. I want to play a crocodile because they have those in Louisiana.
100% truth.
And he plays him again in Kung Fu Panda 3,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, he does. So
I've only seen the first one.
I've seen they're very good. They're very funny.
How is him? Well, the question is, in his movies, obviously, him talking is the weakest point. So how is him just using his voice for an animated movie? How does that come across?
It's not too bad. No. I mean, there's a lot of times where they go in for these, especially these movies where it's a very diverse set of fighters and whatever, especially in Kung Fu Panda, where you get voices. I mean, for instance, Jackie Chan is one of the voices.
Yes, I knew that, yeah.
So you get these different voices. Your mind actually works a little differently because you can actually understand all of them fine.
Yeah.
But like if I saw Jackie Chan just do a movie, especially 10 years ago or whatever, or 20 years ago before his English was great, it was like, oh, God, why are you talking again? And now they dub over those movies.
Yeah, they do.
That's one of the biggest things. They'll redub a lot of his movies using his voice in English, even though it was originally shot in English. So after Kung Fu Panda 2, Assassination Games.
So this is when he starts working with. Now, I feel this guy is like he's another action guy. He might be kind of like his protege. He's this guy called
Scott Adkins.
Yes. And he's in lots of movies. Yeah. He does a lot of movies with Jean-Claude, but some by himself, too. He does a lot of direct-to-DVD ones where he's the star.
So now he is playing a role coming up as Scott Adkins in Doctor Strange, but it's not announced yet, so I'm interested to see what it is. Because
he's probably like a minor bad guy.
I do like him.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he's getting into kind of the Marvel thing, because I think he'd be a good henchman, bad guy.
Yes.
Whatever.
He's like he's a good second in command.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, he is actually the second in command. So looking back here, so where's the period here where I stopped watching? So it was about 1999, right?
Yeah, 1999 through. I mean, even now, I don't watch any of his
movies.
I
didn't see his next movie until 2012. Where he showed up as the bad guy in The Expendables 2. So he was the villain.
No, I have not seen Expendables 2.
So obviously we know Expendables, Sylvester Stallone got a lot of all these action heroes to come back. Arnold's in it.
Everybody.
Dolph Lundgren's
Bruce
in
Willis,
it. Jet Li.
Right?
Bruce Willis. So Jean-Claude Van Damme's the bad guy in that, and Scott Adkins is his second command. So that's where, again, he shows up because they're kind of like these buddies. And so I hadn't seen one from 99 until 2012 when I saw Expendables 2.
Very awesome.
Then
you spent 13 years without him.
I know, yeah.
How did
you
live?
Good time. I had to adopt new martial arts heroes. A lot of Jackie Chan's.
That's true.
Well, Jet Li was like big time prime.
You know what,
though?
I still watch a lot of the old Jackie Chan stuff. Like, literally the old
Rumble,
like,
in the Bronx.
Yeah, Rumble in the Bronx. You've
hey,
got
Keon,
Legend of the
you're number
Drunken
one.
Master.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
I
that
saw
was one
Twin
of his first
Dragons
ones.
In the theater.
Twin Dragons, Operation Condor.
Super Cop.
No, Super Cop.
Yeah, those are all good.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, there's a lot. And they still hold up. I mean,
did you
now
see any of his American
off.
Ones that were really good? Like The Tuxedo.
Yes, I've seen where the suit is the powerful thing.
What's the one, Mr. Nice Guy?
Mr. Nice Guy wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
Then he did. He tried to do Shanghai
oh,
Nights, Shanghai
of course,
Noon.
Of course, the Rush Hour series.
Rush Hour. Well, yeah. those,
that was
those
the
are so good. I watch those all the time.
They're funny.
Oh, I love them.
Chris Tucker's great.
Yeah,
great.
And then he retires and then needs to come back because
he did
ran
come
out of
back.
Money. He ran out of money.
Oh, that's why he came
that's
back.
That's why he came back. I'm hoping they do a new Rush Hour. They were going to do that TV show, but whatever.
They did do the TV show.
Oh,
they
did?
It got canceled after like five episodes.
You can't recreate Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker on screen.
They try to do it all the time. They got a Lethal Weapon show on right now.
What?
You didn't know there's a Lethal Weapon TV show on Fox? Damon Wayans plays Murtaugh.
Damon Wayans Jr.?
No, Damon Wayans, because he's the old, almost retired partner. So here's what I got to ask you. So there is...
There's
I was not aware of this.
More movies after this.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme was in Universal Regeneration, but then he was in Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning. Now, I think that's the one you were talking about.
Oh, maybe. It's
so,
so
bad.
So I
don't bad. Know what... So he did show up earlier at another one.
It's so bad.
But
like,
I didn't know...
Whatever one I watched... Hold on, let me
but
see.
But I didn't know there was another one he showed up during.
No, Dolph Lundgren's in Day of Reckoning.
That's the one you've seen. Oh, he's in this other one, too.
John...
He's in Regeneration as well.
Scott Adkins. Oh, this is the one I saw.
That's the one you saw. This one... Well,
he
this other one also
takes down
has
Luke Devereaux after a home invasion, claims his wife and daughter, but the fight pits John against Andrew Scott and an army of genetically enhanced warriors. Meanwhile, he must contend with something.
Yeah, I didn't know
so,
they had...
All right, now,
they've had a lot of these damn
movies. I
didn't
really... So here's the thing. I didn't really watch this movie well. I mean, I didn't like it that much. I mean, I just didn't like it.
No, it looked awful.
But I don't think Jean-Claude Van Damme was the bad guy. I think it was like he was set, I don't know, whatever. We don't
I think he was like a very minor character.
Yeah, whatever. We can go quick because we're probably getting way overdone here.
Yes, we're going.
After the Universal Soldier's Day of Reckoning, he was in Six Bullets, never saw it. Alien Uprising.
I have it as UFO. I think that's probably the
probably
same movie.
Same thing. Welcome to the Jungle.
I hear that's funny. It's a comedy.
All right.
It's got a lot of like funny actors
that'll
in
be,
it.
The second podcast we do when it's new
Adam
movies.
Brody, Rob Hubel, Kristen Schaal.
All right. Enemies Closer.
That's the last Peter Hyams one of the trilogy.
No. JCVD's Make My Movie. That was a video short.
I don't see that.
Swelter.
Swelter.
Full Love.
Full Love.
Pound of Flesh.
Jean Bingman.
Yes. And Kung Fu Panda 3. Then this is where he gets into his other amazingness.
This
Kickboxer
is confusing.
Vengeance.
I don't think this is out yet. I don't know if it is or not. Kickboxer Vengeance, where he's...
Yep. Kickboxer Vengeance. Master
it's the
Drawn.
Reboot where he's playing the master.
Yep.
But then I also have in 2017, he's supposed to be in Kickboxer Retaliation.
Yes. Master Duran. Post-production.
Oh, so he's playing the same character.
Yeah.
So this is already a sequel to that Kickboxer reboot.
Which I guess it... warrants a sequel.
So the moral of the story is you and I kind of both dropped off around 1999.
And I returned
and
when I had children and it was
And I just jumped back in because I watched the Expendables movies. So.
Yeah. I like his older movies, but I think that style, I don't really want to watch it with him as it. So like
you'd rather watch a... So in today's day and age...
A Bruce Willis Die Hard.
Well, it's in today's day and age, you want to watch a more... So back in the day, you had Arnold, you had your Arnold Schwarzeneggers, you had your Sylvester Stallones, you had your Jean-Claude. You had these like really built, muscly action
guys.
Heroes. Where today, it's like we like Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Liam Neeson.
We like
Matt
these
Damon.
Guys that are...
Matt Damon. In the Bourne trilogy.
We like these more realistic
whatever.
Type of guys. Even Daniel Craig as James Bond.
Yeah.
You like these grittier, not like these quips, like these one-liner type of guys.
Exactly.
Going.
I don't want it all fighting. I want dialogue and I want
intelligence,
acting.
Too, yeah. And thinking.
Yeah. The yeah. Oceans movies.
Yeah.
I love those movies where it's like a thinking process. At the end, there's just a twist, and it works, and it's not M. Night Shyamalan twist. I don't know how that man keeps making movies.
Yeah, like you said, we're kind of pressing for time here, but I think we should really quickly jump into the segment of...
Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Thinking about this cast, it's not a huge cast. We just went through JCVD. Why don't we just look up a couple of these people? Let's start with the person I'm probably most interested is because he was so iconic in Sleepless in Seattle. It was Ross Malinger.
Absolutely.
Tyler. So let's kind of look at him.
He hasn't really done much. So he's only been in 33 credits.
He might have stopped acting around college.
Yeah. So he was in Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, yeah. Brian brought that up. I didn't remember him
in
that.
He was in the movie Eve of Destruction.
Eve of Destruction. Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Late for Dinner.
No, I'm never late for dinner. I love dinner.
You love dinner. Sleepless in Seattle.
Yes. So that was his fourth credit.
I mean, he did a lot of TV stuff, and he still has, since then, he did a lot. Good Advice, Ross Malinger. But Colonel Sanders.
Which
George
one?
Weiner. Spaceballs.
Oh, Colonel Sanders. I thought you were talking about the current KFC ad campaigns where they keep changing out Colonel Sanders.
Those are terrible.
I don't know who the current one is. Is it Rob Riggle or is it George Hamilton?
I don't even know.
Seeing different commercials.
Then Bye Bye Love.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie.
That was...
I saw that in the theater.
Really?
Yeah. Paul Reiser,
Matthew Modine,
Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Janine Garofalo, I think, right?
A young Elijah Dushku.
You're right.
From Watertown, Mass.
That's true. Stephen Myers on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Then he was in Sudden Death. He was the voice of Peter in Peter and the Wolf.
Pieter.
Maybe This Time.
Maybe Next Time.
The TV series.
That's the sequel series.
He was also the voice of Spike in Homeward Bound 2. Nick Freno, Licensed Teacher.
That sounds familiar.
Nick Freno, Licensed Teacher, was a brilliant comedy series from 1996 to 1998. It starred Mitch Mullaney as Nick Freno, Al Yeroker, and Jonathan
That's
Hernandez.
That's the European version of Al Roker.
Orlando Diaz. But this is why I'm getting to this point, because the fifth build is Ellen's wife, Portia de Rossi.
Portia de Rossi, yeah. So what was one of Ross Malinger's kind of last credits?
So his last credit was in 2006. He played a role on Without a Trace. Basically, his last video, like movie credit, was he played Steve Johnson in the movie Frog and Wombat.
That sounds amazing. Wait a minute. His last movie was Frog and Wombat.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's first movie was Woman Between Wolf and Dog.
I don't know if that even...
Well, it's two animals.
It's one of your connections.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's kind of my segue.
So he basically has not done anything. I mean, he's probably just... graduate college and he's doing new
he's probably
whatever.
A lawyer or something.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the daughter now, since we're doing the
Whitney
McCord children.
She actually hasn't done anything.
So I want to preface this where she was in a movie where
I'll do anything
where my parents love this movie and she was such a character that they're like, this girl's gonna be a star when she grows up, and then she only showed up in Sudden Death. That's the only other thing I ever saw her in.
There's two other movies, both uncredited roles.
Okay.
She has not done anything. Let's talk about Dorian Harewood.
Yes. Why don't we end on him? Because
it's perfect.
Yeah, I think this is the one we're going to end on.
He's done a lot of stuff. You know him.
He was in the made-for-TV movie remake of 12 Angry Men.
He's done so many things.
He's a big-time character actor.
He's 170 credits to his name.
Nice.
And if he's on a TV series or anything like that, normally it's more than one episode.
Oh, yeah. Reoccurring character.
He's a reoccurring character. You definitely know him from the wonderful movie Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember him being in that movie.
Yeah, he was
Matthew Modine again.
He was 8-Ball. But no, he started out in TV, Swiss Family Robinson, the TV series.
Really?
His first movie, Levi, in the movie Sparkle.
That's not the Mariah Carey movie, Glitter.
No, but this is pretty much the same concept.
Same concept.
A girl group experiences turmoil after one of the members turned to drugs.
Oh.
It's probably about that.
Nice.
I mean, more than likely. But it was 1976, so that's like a too
soon.
That's
really early, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a too soon type of a thing.
It's a too soon and too late, because you think about like the Supremes that were like 50s, 60s, and then you feel like the girl groups of the 90s, and then on, that's like in between.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It did a lot of TV stuff. Strike Force. Trauma Center. Glitter, the TV series.
Oh, that doesn't work.
Glitter. It does, kind of. The TV series, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I love that.
He was the voice of a police chief. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the TV series. He was the voice of Shredder.
Really?
Yep. New Kids on the Block TV series.
Wait a minute. I don't remember that.
China Beach.
Was it animated?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It says voice. So
okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Raisins Sold Out, the California Raisins.
Wow.
He played Stretch, the voice, not actually playing a raisin.
Heard it through the grapevine.
I used to love that.
Growing up, I had a California Raisin action figures that they they stood on a stage that was a piece of bread.
Yes,
and
I
then
remember
it,
that.
And then you hit the button and it played Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yes.
And one had a microphone. I don't know what the other ones had. I like the one that had the sunglasses.
It was
though.
Perfect. Zazu Yu.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Isn't that the bird from Lion King?
Maybe. He played the official guy in Darkwing Duck.
The official guy.
Yep.
Very official.
Yeah. Goof Troop.
Wow. Okay, a lot of Disney afternoon
Batman
stuff.
Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
Animaniacs.
Nice.
Bonkers.
All those WB ones were great. Batman.
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Him too.
Yeah.
Same episode as Ross Mellinger.
Buffalo Soldiers. I don't know, maybe. Aladdin TV series.
Oh, I watched that.
Viper.
Hey, do you know who was the voice of the genie instead of Robin Williams in the Aladdin TV series?
No.
Dan Castellaneta.
Oh.
Homer.
Nice. Capital Critters.
Yes. With John Ritter.
Oh.
No, John Ritter was on Fish Police. Sorry.
Oh.
That was the show that came afterwards.
Jim Rhodes, War Machine in the TV series Iron Man.
Oh, I watched that. Stan Lee used to set it up.
Incredible Hulk.
Believers.
Gargoyles. Space Jam.
Gargoyles.
The
Dude.
Quack Pack.
I love
Mortal
Gargoyles.
Kombat, Defenders of the Realm, Wing Commander, Spider-Man TV series, Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
So a lot
Freakazoid,
of
Freakazoid. But these are great.
Yeah.
All Real Monsters.
Very great shows.
New Batman. Dude, this guy, Stargate SG-1.
Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah.
MacGyver.
He did some stuff in Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, yes.
The old TV series.
Wasn't he playing the Miles Dyson role?
Dr. Boyd Sherman.
Okay. I take that back.
Yes, I think you do. It looks like he's kind of retired from acting, and he's only really doing voice roles.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense.
He's
got a very booming,
powerful voice.
Yes.
He's 66 right now. So
wow.
And right when he turned 60, it looks like his credits just stopped.
Maybe just retired. That's
only one,
that's
two,
the retirement
three,
age if you're
four,
working in like
five,
an office job. So. Dorian Harewood.
He's doing good.
All right, Rick, time to wrap up this episode. Kind of any closing thoughts before we bid adieu to the Cinemaniacs?
See if you can find... I'm asking the Cinemaniacs.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh, you're giving them homework.
Yeah. Please tweet us.
At $5 bin, P-O-D.
I want to find out Spoda. I want to learn more about Spoda.
If you know about Spoda, I would like to know more about this, too.
I want to know why you claim that he
is a trademark on Spoda.
It's a trademark on Spoda.
This is a $5 bin mystery that we need to solve.
Why would someone trademark
the name Spoda?
A character.
Well, I could see an author doing that.
No, but I mean, I could see. So like George Lucas did Droid.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And now he's making a boatload from
Droid. If you were a series where you had a character show up multiple times, I could see that.
Sudden Death, Time Cop, the name.
Oh, Spoda's in Time Cop?
It says he is.
Whoa.
Then after that, it's The Relic, The Musketeer, Beyond Reasonable Doubt.
He's in all these movies?
Scarlet
Spoda?
Warm. Yeah, it just says filmography
this
Spoda.
This is a Spoda conspiracy.
Yeah, you need to tell me why this occurred.
All right. So yes, please let us know who this Spoda is, and we will be very grateful to you. Well, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and MIA Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Away the pain, and I will stand by you forever. You can take my breath away.
Drugs are bad, kids.
Rick, name one of your heroes.
Enrique Iglesias.
Mine's Spoda.
Oh.
Topical. Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. This just in. I watched the movie The Presidio today that featured the character of Spoda. There he is again! For more information about the podcast, you can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5bin, P-O-D, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. You can download episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not give us a good rating and a review? It really helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya. To learn more about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, babies. Name Spoda!